Please take your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to just take a second to pray and thank God and ask for wisdom in our time together. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, and as we contemplate what you've done, help it to motivate our service for you. Lord, as we look at these few verses, I pray that you would challenge us to be better workers, servants, ultimately of you. Ask for wisdom to explain these verses. May you be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, How to Behave on the Job. How to Behave on the Job. You know, kids need a lot of help learning how to behave, right? The classic one is church programs. If you don't tell your kids what to do ahead of time, and even if you do, it may still happen, right? The one is, we're going to grab the microphone and play with the microphone. That always seems to happen. Or the other one, if the girl with dresses, let's just say it's a good thing they came out with, you know, those little shorts that go under dresses, because never fails. The tendency is to play with something. And you tell them to keep their hands at their side, and then they're doing this, right? You know, sticking the hands in the pockets, and, you know, it's just, that's the natural tendency. You need to be prepared to know how to behave in front of people. And in this passage of Scripture, here's Timothy 6, 1 through 2. Paul gives Timothy some instructions on behavior for slaves. And I think there are applications that we can make today for behavior on the job. Last week, learning from the previous passage, as we finished up talking about pastors, I know, finally, thank you. I'm done, ready to be done talking about them too. Following the advice to heed the charge to be careful, to not show favoritism in who you pick. You know, just your friends or whatever. Not be hasty in ordination, knowing that ultimately you share in not only the success but the sins as well when you put that kind of endorsement. And then the challenge to keep yourself pure. And then he goes on to talk about alcohol, which I think is appropriate. You know, one of those big areas that tends to trip people up. And especially in our society, we need to be careful there. And then the reasons to heed the reasons to be careful. We saw that some people you see their sins right away, right? I mean, you can tell. Other people, no matter what you do, I mean, it's not going to come out until Judgment Day. And unfortunately, we all know pastors and others that have proven that true. And the same is true for the deeds as well. You'll see some of the public things, and other stuff will come out. Even if it doesn't come out in this life, will come out in eternity. God will make that obvious. And so we should be careful on who you pick as a pastor. Now, Paul gives some more instructions to Timothy, and this time for slaves. And from these, I think we can apply them to our work situation, to bosses and our work. And learn how to behave on the job by following two directives that Paul gives in these verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6. And I just want to say right up front, we're talking about, it talks about slaves here, right? I don't want you to equate slavery in our country with slavery in Bible times. Our country, unfortunately, was usually based on racism. They're based on your color of your skin. Bible times, it was usually economic. Often people even sold themselves into slavery. It was a means of welfare, and that's actually explained and kind of regulated in the Old Testament in places like Deuteronomy 15, 12 through 18, and Exodus 21, 1 through 11. And there gave means for getting out of that or staying in it if you wanted to. And where someone would willingly serve his master for the rest of his life, and the, you know, the putting an earring in the ear would symbolize that. So it was the economic part, and then there's the political. Often slaves came because of wars, and the people that were brought home, you see that play out even in the Old Testament, but Roman Empire was a lot of that as well. And yet it was, they had many different roles. I mean, you could have slaves that were serving as doctors or government officials or merchants, and yet technically still slaves. But many slaves, most slaves, actually had the opportunity to free themselves fairly easily, to the point where most slaves over the age of 30 had freed themselves if they wanted to. I mean, there were exceptions. And it was by Bible, you know, New Testament times, slavery was kind of on the way out as so common. It was actually at one point so common, it was about 30% of the population were slaves. In fact, one of the Romans toyed with making slaves wear uniforms, but the reason they didn't is because they didn't want them to know how many slaves there actually were, because that would, you know, kind of it could lead to revolt and other things. And that happened at different times as well. So don't equate Bible slavery with slavery of more recent times. But at the same time, the Bible doesn't condemns slavery, but it never condones it either. It often is dealing with the realities of the culture. And yet, as you read and study Scripture, and as we'll look at even a few of those passages, this was ultimately Scripture undermines, first regulates it, so that it regulates the abuses. And you see that in places in the Old Testament, especially. But undermines it as elevating the slave, at the same time bringing down the rich person to not think so highly of themselves, like in James chapter 1. And then encourages those that would seek freedom. And in places like 1 Corinthians 7:21, you have the opportunity to be free. Free yourself, as it says. And you see that play out in history where ultimately, wherever Christianity took a hold, slavery became a thing of the past. And so seeing slavery through that lens helps us to understand these passages better. So with that said, what are the directives that Paul gives? Well, first, as we think of how to behave on the job, these two directives, the first being to show unsaved bosses respect in verse 1. It says, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. Paul is commanding Timothy to instruct the slaves in the church. Notice he's talking to in the church, right? And this is especially relevant because you have slaves and masters in the same church serving in different roles. And how are they to handle that? And that's part of the tension that he wants to address. Now here he's talking to the slaves. These aren't necessarily that have masters in the church. These would be, and so he's making the general statement, you're under the yoke, you're a slave. How should you view your master? Well, you should view them as worthy of all honor. A slave should respect and serve their master. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 talks about this. You know, it presumes just like a son is to honor his dad, and so a slave should submit to his dad. And ultimately, that should be us with our Heavenly Father as well, right? And with Jesus, our Lord and Master. So Paul is giving instructions to Timothy for slaves. And he does this in other passages like Ephesians chapter 6, 5 through 8. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. And this is an important point. Not with eye service as men pleasers, that's a natural tendency, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's slave or free. So one passage, another parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3, 22 through 25. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So as you serve, serve God and do it with all your heart, knowing that that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, Master. But he who does wrong will pay for what he's done, and there's no partiality. God's not going to be partial. And then a final passage here, 1 Peter 2:18 through 20. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. That's the respect. Not only to the good and gentle, but also the harsh. So that's clarifies. You don't get to pick and choose. For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults and you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. And then in a similar passage in Titus, he says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, similar to here. Be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. That's the arguing, right? You like to sometimes argue with your boss. Not pilfering, stealing, but showing all good fidelity. That means trustworthiness, you're true. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And that'll be important as we look at this passage as well. Right? So, Paul is telling Timothy, here's what you need to instruct the slaves to submit to their master, treat them, because of their master, they're worthy of honor. And then ultimately, why? So that the name of God and His doctrine, or His teaching, may be blasphemed. When you say the name of God, that name represents who He is. You're His character, His reputation. That's why to take God's name in vain is to blasphemy, according to Exodus 20, verse 7. The one who is worthy of all worship, all praise. And you think about the name of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, you know, that God has given him that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God and Father. So that ultimately you're submitting to him. So it's not only to the name of God, but then his teaching. What is his teaching? It's the all that he's been saying about how we are to live as Christians and this reputation that we are to have. Like chapter 2, verse 2. For the king and all our authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Chapter 3, verse 7. Moreover, he must have good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Chapter 5, verse 7. These things commend that they may be blameless. And then verse 14. Therefore, desire the young widows marry, bear children, manage the household, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So throughout this, he's been challenging them, just careful how you live. But he also, in 1 Peter 2, verse 12, says, having conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. And then, you know, going back to our verse here, right? That they may adorn the doctrine, that's the teaching of God, our Savior, in all things. So this reputation that we are to have as Christians, ultimately, it's reflecting on Christ. And I thought it was interesting, one of my commentaries pointed out that this proved true in history. Slaves that were known to be Christians, if they were ever sold, actually brought a higher price because they were Christians. Because people knew that this person will work. They'll be a good employee, in a sense. And they showed their worth. And that ultimately is reflecting well on Christ rather than detracting and bringing reproach. I don't know about you, but I was taught that if you ever get pulled over by a cop, you need to make sure you be very respectful. That's the time that you pull out the sir and ma'am and yes, right? And always keep your hands where they can see you. Don't try to make their life more difficult because it'll make your life more difficult. I remember the cop here in town, the old guy that retired finally, he said, I never gave out a ticket for speeding or for stop signs. I gave out plenty of jerk tickets, but, right? It's how you respond. How, you know, are you being respectful or not? Are you showing your unsaved boss respect? Do you realize that they are due it as your boss, even if they're unsaved? Do you understand that if they are unsaved, you need to be especially careful to show respect and do a good job because you knew how you behave at work reflects not just on you, Not your family name, but on your Father, God. Right? As Jesus said in Matthew 5, 6, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. And his teachings. Too many unsaved despise God because of what they know of his representatives. And we are called to be ambassadors of Christ. Right? 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. Are you being a good ambassador as you go about your job? Or are you maligning the name of God? Are you gaining God a bad reputation rather than a good reputation? Are you representing Christ well, or are you dragging his name through the mud? Are you witnessing well at work by your godly behavior? Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So notice the context of not complaining. It's our reputation to the world. Somebody has said that complaining is the currency of the workplace. You ever get a bunch of employees together? What's the tendency? You start talking about the things you don't like about your job and how things are hard. So if we don't do that as Christians, we actually are way different than the world. And you have a huge opportunity to show the difference. And, you know, as that verse in Titus 2:9 says, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, right? That's the arguing and complaining, but also not pilfering, not stealing. Well, you're like, well, I don't steal. Well, do you stand around and talk when you should be working? If so, you're stealing from your boss's time. And we need to think about what we're conveying, the reputation. Are we being honest? And even as 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12 says, we are to mind our own business, to work with our own hands, to work hard as a reputation for the Lord. And ultimately, that he would look good. You may walk aspire to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and they may lack nothing. This is what we're called to do. Are you showing unsaved bosses respect? And then secondly, second directive, serve saved bosses better. He goes on in verse 2 and says, and those who are believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them. To despise means to think little or to look down on. Because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Because of that relationship you share, you should be loving them and their family. And then he wraps it up with this encouragement, teach and exhort these things, which is the these things we've seen is the message of the instructions of the book, like 3:14, 4:6, 11:15, and 5:7. So Paul is commanding Timothy to instruct the slaves in the church who have believing or saved masters to not despise or look down on them, to not think little of them just because they're brethren. And you know, the tendency, you know, is we're all one in Christ, right? We are, and that's true. As Galatians 3:28-29, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now that is true, but does that mean there are no distinctions when it comes to culture and society? No, there still are those things. But our equality before Christ, we're no different. That's why we can all worship together. Well, we can and work and serve together. That's why Paul in Philemon verse 16 says that Philemon says to treat Onesimus, his returning slave, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He's challenging Philemon to think differently about his slave now that he's come back and he's become a believer. Right? To not treat him as he did before. So there is a sense in which, you know, there is no longer the distinctions, but there are still distinctions. And because of that, our distinction should be, they're a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. And so I want to serve them better than I did before. I mean, they deserved respect and honor as my master before. Now, I should want to help them as one who I love. And this is where Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, we should use our freedom to serve the Lord. And though I am free from all men, I've made myself a servant or slave to all that I might win the more. Rather than saying, I'm free, I don't have to do that anymore, you say, I'm free, so I can choose to do that. That's what we should be thinking. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, selfishness, but through love serve one another. See, what should motivate us now should be love for one another. 1 Peter 2:16, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of who? Your master? No, of God. See, that's what should motivate us. Is really, now we're serving God, and so we should serve even better. And number one, and remember too, that God is always watching. Right? You used to serve well when the boss was watching. But you have a new boss now. And he is always watching. But even there, our motive should be that of love. So, how should we behave on the job as we think about these directives? If our saved, or, you know, we show unsaved bosses respect, we serve saved bosses better. I remember growing up, we would go visit my grandmother on the farm. Sometimes us boys would go up for a week or two during the summer. And we got put to work. But it was fun work, right? Because number one, you're doing it with your cousins, and that's just way fun. And then number two, you're doing it for your grandma, and you're for your uncle, right? You're helping out family, and you have that communal experience. We'd throw and bring in wood every time we went up for Thanksgiving. Usually, we got roped into that, and I have some great experiences or memories of that. And we would do a good job because we were doing it for family. Are you serving your saved bosses better? Do you remember that you are benefiting a brother or sister in Christ? Or are you despising them, looking down on them since they're a family? Isn't it so sad that those we profess to love the most, we often treat the worst? When the opposite should be true, we should serve out of love in our own homes. 1 John 3:16-18. Not just our words, but our deeds. And really, 1 John 3:5 is all about, you say you love God, do you love your brother? And if this is a brother or sister in Christ, are you showing that love on the job? Especially. And are you seeking to serve them because you are free together? Instead of selfishly doing as little as possible. And the reality is, you help your boss, it's going to help you. You may not seem that way, and there's always exceptions and selfish people, but the way God has intended it to work, it will come back and benefit you. Are you serving saved bosses better? I had to learn how to behave at hockey. You know that? I started playing hockey 15 years ago, and I came in having played just, you know, a little bit with a bunch of guys on town team and scrimmaging, whatever. This was a different environment. And finding my new place in that, knowing what is expected, it's always a little weird at first. But number one, I had to learn, don't take it too seriously. This is just for fun. There's no scouts in the stands. You know, we all have to go back to our jobs, so don't hurt anybody. Slashing is not okay. You know, and, you know, being too rough, it's not worth it. And then also just to not get sucked into the language, not participate with the guys, just to be one of them. There's that temptation always. And yet to just have fun. This is a fun time. We can chirp at each other, we can pick on each other, but it's all in fun. Don't take it too seriously. And not everybody has that figured out. And it's way more fun when you play with the guys that do have this figured out. We're here to have fun, have exercise, and try to get better at our game, but we're not going to take this too seriously. Right? I learned how to behave at hockey. Have you learned how to behave on the job without getting sucked into sin culture? The complaining, the arguing, the stealing, all of that goes on, and everybody just accepts as a part of the job. But that's not how we should be as Christians. Are you showing unsaved bosses respect and serving unsaved bosses better? Are you behaving on the job as God wants? Father, we thank you for these verses and instructions for our lives that are so practical. Help us to live them out as you would call us to. We pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.